More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Every month, cellist Robert Cohen joins us to talk about the life of a working, touring, professional musician. He has talked about concerts and venues, taking an instrument on the road, and teaching a new generation of cellists.
This month, Robert is hearing earworms, or rather, he's trying not to hear them. It turns out that unlike an advertising jingle or a pop song that might get stuck in my head, the earworms that Robert gets are on an entirely different level.
Sometimes it's completely overwhelming, you know. I suppose normally you get a song in your head or a ditty or something like that, and you might be whistling it or singing it in the shower, or it might just come around several times that day, you know, just because it doesn't leave you. But I think for me, I know, and probably most musicians, it's much more incessant than that. And when you're really involved in preparing a concert of music, I mean, a whole 2 hours worth of music, in your head, it can never leave you. You can be stuck with this kind of bits of music, sections of music, which go on and around, and, you know, they can even, I mean, it's kept me awake at night, literally. I mean, sometimes the music, I just can't stop it. I've tried listening to the radio, I've tried reading a book, and the music just keeps going on and on and on. I mean, of course, it's amazing, you know, to kind of live with this. And we are so privileged to live with this music of the great genius composers. But, you know, if it's keeping you awake night after night because you can't leave it, that's quite, it's quite a strain in a way. And we really do have that. And even when you do concentrate on other things, perhaps because you have to during the day, you know, the music can force its way back into your head. So you're trying to think about, you know, a letter that you've got to write. In the meantime, this music shoves its way into your head and you get back into it. And it's not just listening to the music. It's not hearing. It's also, you know, the involvement in how the music works and how you play it.
That was a question I had, is you're not just hearing it in your head the way I might hear an advertising ditty in my head. You're actually analyzing it at the same time?
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that it's happened to me that I've literally found my fingers going through the music, the cello, the fingerings on the cello, you know, first finger, third finger, then across the strings to something else, up bow, down bow. I literally find my hands doing that even when to the music that's in my head. I don't even realize my hands are moving. And even sometimes when I, you know, I remember watching TV and finding my hands going through Bach. just completely out of control. And then you suddenly also find that you're walking along and you change your pace of walking to fit the music that's in your head. So suddenly, you know, if there's a fast section, you find yourself walking faster or so on, you know, and it's kind of takes over your brain in that way. And
well, it sounds like it takes over your body too.
Yeah. Involuntary movements, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so.
But then also the emotions, you know, can get to you. Sometimes you're just, it's there in your head, and suddenly you feel really elated for some incredible moment in the music or really sad. So the emotions and the beauty of the movement of the music sometimes take you. Or, I mean, it's often the case when I'll just be in the room with my wife, and I'll suddenly, oh, this is such an incredibly beautiful moment. And she doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Because she's hearing different music in her head. Because I know
exactly.
she's a musician too. But okay, so what music has been rattling around in your head for the past?
Well, the thing that's, you know, it's just been, actually it's not even that recent, but it was such a huge thing for me, this Mozart symphony that I was conducting, and it's so complex. So that has been going on and on in my head. And of course, it doesn't go away until you replace it, you know, quite violently with something else that pushes the Mozart out of your head. And it can last, you know, even weeks after your concert, while you're doing other things, it still can keep coming back into your head. And so I think for a musician, it's like all the time there's, you know, there's always something that can be drawn on, something you played in a concert a month ago, the things that you're working on right now, the pieces that you played yesterday. You know, there's a kind of level of music that goes on in your head day and night. I mean, even, you know, funny things happen. So I'll occasionally wake up in the middle of the night and is it like a light bulb moment? I'll suddenly think, oh, that's the solution. I realize now, this is the technical solution for some complicated passage. And I've got to kind of go and write a note down to myself to remind myself that that was the solution. Or it could be just even something complicated musically that you kind of were struggling to get a concept of, to understand the structure of the music in some way. And, you know, literally in the middle of the night, you can wake up with this, you know, epiphany that this is the answer. This is what I've been struggling for.
And do those make sense when in the cold light of day? Are they solutions? Because I've heard people will like wake up in the middle and write something down and then they wake up at their normal wake-up time and they look at it and they think, I have no idea what that means.
Well, I guess it's a balance, really. There are probably ones which you think, that was a brilliant idea, but I'm not going to use that, you know?
Right.
But there are other ones that literally do work. And I think it just shows how your brain works on these things. And you do make these discoveries sometimes. And I think that is fantastic, even if it does wake you up in the middle of the night.
Right. Well, it's ruminating, you know, it's your brain working on all of this stuff on a slightly semi-conscious level in your case. I mean, it's not fully subconscious because otherwise you wouldn't really be aware of it. But, you know, it's like all of these things happening and you're still trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, and there's definitely, you know, it ties in very strongly with the kind of sense that what we're doing as you prepare music is very, very conscious. But in the end, when you perform, you rely enormously on your subconscious. You rely on the stored information just to help you flow and help you focus in a different way so that your performance is a performance, not just, you know, going over what you've practiced. And I know that we've talked about that, you know, many times because it's so much the point when you're in the moment and letting your subconscious, the information take over your body and your mind in so many ways and be a free-flowing artist. And I guess when you're sleeping or when you're not really thinking about the music, but there's stuff going on in the back of your head, the work can be really successful and can be very, you know, uplifting when it's revealed.
So when you're in the middle of being aware that the music is going through your head, do you also have any kind of synesthetic reactions to it? Like, do you see colors that go with that? Does that happen as well? I have friends who are synesthetes where letters and numbers will have colors, for example, associated with them, and they can't help but see those colors when those letters and numbers. And I'm wondering if that happens with you at all with the music.
It doesn't with me. I guess it probably happens in so many different ways for people, just like words describing music or, you know, scenes when people say, oh, this music reminds me of being, you know, looking at the sky and watching the stars. And somebody else says, oh, no, it just reminds me of, you know, of a clock face or something like that. You know, it's just so different from everybody. And for me, I suppose I relate so closely to the feeling that I make when I'm drawing sound from the cello, or even the visual thing of looking at the dots on the page and the music. I think those are probably the most more powerful things that are tied into my hearing the music as it's going on in my head. I don't think it's more than that.
You have all of this going through your head. Can you stop it? And do you want to?
Very good question. Do I want to? I haven't really thought that I want. I think when it's just overwhelming and I just want to think about something else, or as I said, when I don't sleep, then I definitely don't want it to be there. But I suppose the rest of the time I enjoy being in that world, and I suppose perhaps other people looking at me might think that, you know, I'm not with them sometimes. I don't consciously try to stop it normally. And it's kind of an enjoyable experience, to be honest, having so much music going on in your head. And that's, you know, lucky, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking it's like having your own soundtrack.
Yes. It is.
It's Robert Cohen's personal soundtrack.
And you know what? The other thing is that when I hear a little bit of music, it just might be a moment of something. And it might be a piece of music that reminds me of another piece of music even. And I suddenly get caught. Oh, yeah, that reminds me of this beautiful sonata by Boccherini, for instance. And suddenly the whole Boccherini sonata comes into my head from beginning to end, and it'll go round and round. And I'll be able to choose which bits I want to listen to, which bits I'd like to listen to again. And it is that soundtrack. And I suppose because my repertoire of music is comparatively huge, I am able to access so much of that so easily. And a little thing that will remind me of that. So even if just a car horn, or as you said before, an advert on a ditty on for some advertising something, it may be not that bit of music that I'm interested, but it might just remind me of something else. And then suddenly I've got the whole piece of music to call on. And, you know, that's really nice. I must say, I really enjoy that.
Yeah. I would take it even farther from soundtrack. It's more like having your own Pandora or satellite channel that you can just dip into and keep yourself, you know, I was going to say amused and interested, but just sort of engaged, you know.
But, you know, also the other thing is that's with amongst musicians, it's really nice because sometimes you do hear that car horn go off and you're with other people, and suddenly all of the people think it reminds them of the second movement of the Beethoven Third Symphony. You know, I mean, suddenly everybody is kind of drawn into that moment. And there's such a sense of fun because, you know, of that kind of togetherness with music.
One last question on this, and it just popped into my head. Do you get music in your head when you're reading?
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be reading a novel, say, and it will remind you of something, and the music will be there sort of in the background while you're reading.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I think what happens is just it interferes. So I'm reading, and something just comes in, and I'm not sure it's related. It just comes in, and I suddenly find, like, you know, that thing where you're reading, and then you suddenly realize you need to read that page again because you didn't absorb it. For me, it's the music's interrupted, and then I'm actually starting to listen to my soundtrack and forgetting to read at all.
So the music always trumps. It always trumps all.
It does, but I guess that's okay, given that I'm a musician.
Yes, you're allowed. Well, Robert, now I have to pay attention to my own inner soundtrack and see, you know, what pops into my head. Mine is more probably like top 40 hits and rock and roll and bits and pieces of things that I remember. But
that's nice, too.
That is nice, too. And, you know, when you live with music in one way or another, it's just part of your life, and it takes over in ways that you're not even aware of, I think. So, well, I will leave you to go back to your what's popping in your head right now.
Oh, well, actually, all sorts of pieces, because this is a moment where my students at the Royal Academy of Music in London are preparing last minute preparations for their end of year exams. And I'm kind of very involved in supporting them to make sure that they do their best and they feel really good. And that, you know, I'm listening to them perform much more than we do the rest of the year when it's all preparation and learning. Now it's all about performing. So all of their pieces that I'm coaching them on at these last finishing moments, that all those pieces, and there are too many to list here, those pieces are going on in my head right now, but I'm enjoying that too.
Yeah, I was going to say they're all vying for attention.
Yes.
Well, I should leave you to it, Robert, because you have lots of music to be listening to in your head. And I will look forward to talking again next month. In the meantime, have a wonderful June.
Thank you. And you too, Bonnie.
Professional cellist Robert Cohen joins us each month to talk about the life of a professional musician in a segment we call On That Note.